Blog Talk Radio.
What a beautiful evening it is here in Southern California. Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Sales 3 Cents, and I am your host, Michelle Murray. Listen, I am super excited about tonight's guest. Not only is she a magnificent teller of stories, she's a friend of mine. And it's pretty cool when you get to interview somebody with a resume like her. So we get to chat with Melanie Seifert tonight. Melanie, are you on the line?
I'm here. How are you?
Yay! Hello. Great.
Excited.
I'm so excited to introduce my audience to you and hear about this book that you have. Melanie has a book that's about to release coming up soon. And it's really exciting. Melanie, she's also an educator, and I think that's going to make your new book even more fantastic. But before we dive into all that, Melanie, tell my audience a little bit about yourself.
Oh, great. I'd love to. First of all, hello, everybody. It's so nice to be on this show. I love everything about Michelle Murray, and it was really exciting to have her, you know, invite me out. So anyway, a little bit about me. I've been writing for quite a while. I actually took it more serious, like, during 2020, which I think a lot of people actually did as well. Like, it's like a deep dive back into yourself. But I'd been writing, and mostly I'd been putting out some plays and things for my after-school program to kind of fundraise. And it has always been a love of mine. So I think it just kind of re-sparked all of that enthusiasm and that excitement about writing. And then when 2020 happened and I found myself without anything to write for, I went ahead and enrolled in a program with KMP Entertainment. It was the best decision I ever made because, again, it just gave me, you know, that piece of myself that I had kind of just been giving away. And I love everything about writing, and I absolutely love what I'm doing at this time in my life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of how it is for many of us that write. We love the written word. We love the spoken word. We love story. We love character. We love everything
exactly
about it. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where do you get some of your ideas from when you're writing?
Oh, my God.
Because I know you write screenplays and novels and all sorts of things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, like I said, when I took the course, it was a master course with KMP Entertainment, and so it was becoming a master writer across the genres. And so for myself, I'm not really sure how it is for other writers, but it's like just digging into your imagination and just thinking, well, what would a person who had bad experience live like? How would they, you know, interact with their world, and what would that be like? And you just really go inside. It's just, I don't really know. It's like something in the universe. You just get these ideas. And it probably has a lot to do with things that you've seen, or maybe even experiences that you have had or would like to have. But I don't know. It's just really a very magical thing. I think a lot of people don't use their imagination very often. And if they do, they're imagining probably the worst case scenarios happening to themselves. But I'm always imagining that Cinderella story, or, you know, the most, I don't know, outrageous what if. So I just think it's just creativity. And I think a lot of people are really born with a more overactive imagination and creativity than others. So I'm fortunate.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, because even for me, I get inspiration. I tell people I get it from real life. I can read the paper. I can hear something in the news. And I say, okay, so what if we had that scenario and we take it this way, right? Or sometimes, like, I can hear conversations in a restaurant and somebody will say a little thing, and all of a sudden it's a title for something, or it's a, you know, it's something some character is saying, you know, or I add to it or take away from it. So, yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's like when you go to a restaurant and you're ordering food and you, you know, the food comes out and you eat it and then maybe you're not really that impressed. You're like, you know, it would have been better if they had done this, you know, or whatever. And so it's kind of like that with, like you said, real life. You hear of a story or, you know, someone that you know is involved with a certain life circumstance. And then that imagination just starts to open up of perhaps how you would, you know, function or deal with or solve or what have you. And that just opens up just these amazing worlds of possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. You know, and it's funny. Sometimes writing can really energize me, but sometimes it can seem a little exhausting, but I still get energized. Like, I don't know, do you ever go through some of that? Like, does it energize you exhaust you or somewhere in the...
I do, because honestly, you know, I live a busy life like the whole world does. And so oftentimes most of my writing is going to happen in the evening when I have a little bit of mind, you know, quietness, and I can close out the world in my room. And it just, you're thinking, oh, as I'm driving home, it's a long drive. Oh, gosh, I can't wait to get home, take my shoes off, get into bed, take a nap, what have you. And you get home and the inspiration hits you to get to the computer. You're on the computer. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, it's 2-3 hours later. You're like, oh, my God, I thought I was sleepy. And you're not necessarily sleepy because it does. Because, again, that active imagination and the story, the lives, they just, it's as if you're there. You're in that. You're experiencing that. You're living it. So you're not sleepy. You're not tired.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I know last really night excited. I was working on something like that, and I was so excited to write. And I kept thinking, why am I so sleepy? And I look, it's 2:54 in the morning. I said, oh, God, I need to go to bed. But, yeah, it gets like that because you're so excited to get this story out and see what your characters are doing, you know. So, yeah, totally understand that. Yeah absolutely
I know for me, I have made the mistake of having a really great idea for a character or a script or whatever it is I'm writing, and getting kind of distracted with life and forgetting what it was. You know, it was like in that moment, if you don't write it down, at least for me, if I don't write it down that moment, it could just poof and be gone. And I'm like, I don't like that because it's a really good idea. And it really just is exciting to think about. So when you start writing it out and it's becoming real, it's becoming, you know, you're starting to see it, you're starting to visualize it, and you're starting to experience it. And that's the beauty of writing. You're experiencing that story in your mind, but it's very visual. It's very real in your mind. So I love it.
I know I'm really the same way. So a lot of times when I get story ideas, immediately I write down the main idea, and I try the same day before I lay my head down, I always try to do like a really quick outline. As I get thoughts, I go and stick it in there because you're right, we'll forget. It's so easy to forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. So I carry around a little notepad, just really small, pocket size. And it's, you know, what I take out, and I will immediately write down the idea on my phone, on my notes, whatever. It's like, let me get this out, because if I don't, you know, it's going to just vanish. And I'll just spend the rest of the day upset because I lost that idea.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and probably like one of the best things I ever invested in as a writer, and it's funny. It's a little $12 notebook, but it's leather bound. It's really cute. It's pretty. I like to look at it. I like to hold it. I like to write in it. But that inspires me to write my ideas in it and keep track of what I'm doing. I don't know. Do you have something like that? Or like, what's probably the best thing you ever invested in as a writer?
Well, of course, my laptop, the best thing ever.
Yes, that too.
instead of the desktop, because you can't take that. I used to hate that. I used to hate that when I was just working on my desktop, because I'd have to wait to go home or, you know, to typing or writing or whatever it was. But my laptop, it goes with me everywhere. It's like, I can be at home, I could be at work, I could be, you know, in a park, I could be on a subway, I could be on a bus, I could be on a plane, wherever I am, my laptop is with me. And so I think that's the best investment a writer could have is a laptop. At least it was for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. That is a must. That is absolutely essential. However, I do have to say I like to go out to the beach with my notepad, and I still like to put pen to paper, even though the beaches now have Wi-Fi. So, you know.
Yes.
So
I was loving it.
Old yeah. And I have taken my laptop out to the beach. But, yeah, a laptop is a must nowadays. This is even just for research, you know. We don't have encyclopedias like we used to, right? So even just for research, you have to have a laptop. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And our phones are good. Our phones are good.
Yay.
But, you know, I always find myself I have to transcribe back over or have to email it to me myself. Or so it's, for me, the laptop is easier because it's there and I don't have to worry about sending it or, say, you know, transferring it from one, you know, device to the other. It's just, it's here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, kind of what, you know, speaking of the beach, that makes me think about our writing process. And for me, I'm one of these people. I want everything quiet. I don't have too many lights on. Sometimes I'll have like a scented candle going or something, but like I want it quiet. I write best when it's quiet and I can concentrate, or when I'm out by the water at the beach. But kind of, what's your writing process? How, you know, what does it look like when you sit down to write?
Well, for me, actually, it kind of depends on what I'm writing about. So let's say I'm writing a romance novel. Then what gets me in the mood to put those love notes or those, you know, love intimate moments onto paper is experiencing that through music. I love music. I was just on the phone the other day with Apple because for some reason my Apple Music went away. I didn't know what happened. I spent about an hour and a half on the phone with Apple trying to make sure I got my music back. And thank God I did. But I was just outside of myself. Like I have this music. So music really for me can help to set a tone or, you know, a feeling tone. And kind of help me get into the mood of whatever it is that I'm going to be writing. But you're absolutely right as far as quiet. When I am, for example, writing this journal, 365 Days of Self-Love, for me, that was a reflective moment. So I really could not have any other sounds going on around me because I needed to go within myself and hear myself and feel those moments. So I didn't use music, but I definitely do like music to kind of set my tone, free my mind, relax me, you know, put me in the mood.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so tell us a little bit about 365 Days of Self-Love. You know, when does it come out? I know it's a journal, but tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, well, for me, it was more about, you know, after years of always allowing myself to give the biggest piece of the pie to everyone but myself, I decided to embark on a journey of self-discovery, improvement, self-empowerment, and love through the pages of my journal. And what I found is throughout that journey, it led me to learn more about my self-worth, my value, and basically that I deserve the biggest pie or piece of the pie as well sometimes. And it was just a really very spiritual experience for myself. And I absolutely loved it. And I know that it's going to be a really useful tool for other people that may have had that same type of feeling of, why am I always giving this away? You know, maybe I want that for myself, and then feeling obligated to give it away. And it's like, but why? Why are you feeling obligated? Why are you not cutting that piece or taking that piece for yourself? And so it was a deep dive. it was, it's 365 days, the deep dive into myself and figuring those things out for myself. And then ultimately walking away happier, finding that I didn't really need to have all of those outside, you know, I guess, pat on the backs and confirmations of whatever it is that you value about yourself. I didn't need anybody else to value that for me. I was able to value that for myself first. And that was just a real amazing feeling to have that. Because I think we're taught kind of to look outside of ourselves for people to validate us and make us feel worthy of things. Which also, and I'm a teacher, so I think that writing this book and just in general going through this process has even made me kind of second think, you know, our grades, and we're telling kids that maybe they're not good enough, they're not smart enough, and what that does to the persona. You know, it really was a deep dive. It absolutely was. And I think, again, a lot of people are going to find the same type of self-discovery when they realize, what have I been doing? What have I been doing with me? Like, how am I loving myself? And showing myself that and feeling that for myself and giving that love to myself. How am I doing that?
Right. You know, I heard something interesting yesterday. Matthew McConaughey had a virtual conference and I was listening. But he said, you know, we're always taught to lend a helping hand, but you have to lend a helping hand to yourself first. And it made me think about your book. I was like, that's so true. It's so true. So does your journal have prompts, or is it like, tell me about your journal a little bit. Like, I bought a journal from this lady one time and I was not happy. It was really, she should have called it a notebook because it was just a bunch of blank papers. And I was looking for something with prompts, but does yours have prompts?
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. And so basically the formatting of my journal is where I will tell my reader some of the things that I've done on a daily basis, take a walk, spend time alone. I mean, again, remember, this was intentional. This was an intentional discovery and an intentional journey for myself to figure out all of those worth, those things that I valued about myself. And so the way that it's structured, again, is where I did something intentionally each day that would bring myself happiness or make me laugh or allow myself to cry if I was just having one of those moments. And that just was very cathartic for me to write it down and get it out instead of just pocketing it, you know, in my body and then throwing it under the rug. And then when the rug just got too big, it was just like, okay, I got to do something with this. Like, I got to do something with this, these feelings, these emotions. And so that was really how it, so I structured it so that my readers, the people who buy the book, will have a similar type of experience to really reflect on their day. I mean, we're so busy, 9 to 5 and plus. Did you love yourself today? Or did you just, you know, berate yourself? Did you just like tear yourself down? Did you allow the day to take away those, you know, moments of happiness because you're just bogged down with work and it just became this, you know, day of anxiety and stress? But even in those moments, did you find time for you? What did you do for yourself? Because I bet you probably, like me, did a lot for a lot of other people. But what did you do for you? It could be 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. But what did you do for you? And so that was really one of the reasons I wanted to kind of help my reader, if it was like for the first time. These are the types of things I did. These are the things that I did. And maybe something's going to resonate with someone, and they will be able. I mean, I'm not saying maybe. I know for sure it's going to resonate with them. And they're going to say, yeah, you know, I used to do that because I talked to a lot of people as well. And I was like, well, what do you do for fun? They were like, well, you know, with the kids and work, I don't know, I don't really have a lot of time for fun during my week. And I was like, really? So all week you're kind of just like, what, tired, sleepy? They're like, I just can't wait to get in the bed. You know, I cooked the dinner, put the food on the table, and, you know, sign who's cleaning the kitchen, and I'm, you know, feet up, ready to go to sleep. I was like, well, dang, that really sucks. And I knew that I was I was doing that too. I was very much, I have an after-school program. And like I said earlier, when before COVID happened, I was writing two plays a year for them. And that was their way of raising funds to do some of the things that they would like to do as a club. But I would come home and I would write these plays. I'd give it, I'd push it out. But it was really for them. And when COVID hit and we were locked in, it was like, well, I didn't have anybody to write for. So I had to start writing for myself again. And I just think that it's really important that we do that. We do that sort of thing each day. I still do it. I still ask myself, how'd you love you today? Like, I still ask myself this question,
mm-hmm.
even after the journal.
That question.
Because it's just for me, it was just an important thing. It was very important for me to recognize that.
Mhm. Mhm. So when does it release? When can we buy this? I'm kind of excited about this. I want my copy.
Well, you for sure can get a copy. But it will be releasing Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to be setting up some pre-sale order dates and in the very near future. So I'm really excited about it. And I just know that it's the right time. It's the right time. You know, there's some things in life that they just rely on timing. It's right now. This is the time
mm-hmm.
where we're all mm-hmm. really thinking about ourselves and not in a selfish way, but in a healthy way. Because I think that's a lot of people. They think that when you say self-love, you know, you're being selfish, you're being self-absorbed. It's just that we haven't been. We've been told that we're supposed to be selfless. And you're like, okay, that's great, but how am I feeling about me? Like, I don't think the me, the self, was really ever considered in a lot of our culture and the way that we've pretty much, you know, raised our children and lived our lives. It's always been about charity, giving it away, giving love away, giving, you know, this way, and that just meant that you're this great person. Like, the more charitable you were, the, you know, more accolades of honor, and, you know, I just was like, okay, well, that's great. I'm not taking anything away from that, but what about me?
What about you? Exactly. Absolutely. Well, you know what? I could sit here and talk to you all night, but unfortunately, we are out of time. But listen, before we go, how can my listeners find you? How can they keep up with you and your projects and the book release and pre-orders? You know, do you have social media? How can they find you?
I definitely have social media, and they can reach me on Facebook, Melanie Seifert. I believe it's at facebook.com or Instagram, same thing. I don't do all those crazy channel names. It's just me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I want people to find me. So
right.
I do that.
Because
uh-huh. I know a
especially
lot of people
that
are
I've never understood
names.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
do you
want my money or not?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
all right. Well,
I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So y'all heard it. Find her on LinkedIn
as well.
Find her on Facebook. Melanie Seifert, Seifert.
Yes.
Melanie Seifert. So 365
yes.
days of self-love.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited for that to come out Labor Day weekend. All right, so listen, everybody, we are
thank
out of time.
You.
But thank you so much, Melanie, for chatting with us. And thank you, everyone,
thank
for listening
you.
To Self-Street. Yes. You have
all
a
right.
great night,
everybody
everyone.
Have a great night. Bye.